Listening Dog Media.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie. Promoting women's football since 2013.
Just three episodes of The Offside Rule to go. Natasha Dowie joins me once more. Tash, it's been sunny. We've had those 2 days of sunshine that we get every year. How did you spend them over the weekend? Because I was in a mixture of Manchester, Plymouth, and then at King's Meadow on Sunday.
Yeah, I had a lovely weekend, Lindsay. I had my best friend over for the weekend from Holland. She's a scout for PSV. So yeah, on Friday went out for a lovely meal. Saturday she rode around the city, got the bikes out, and then Sunday she went to Anfield for the first time and she brought us a bit of luck. Yeah, had a six goal thriller. It was a really entertaining game against Tottenham and she really enjoyed herself. Then we had a little bit of an after party with some of the partners at a nice place called Gaucho in town, and then she left yesterday. So yeah, really, really nice weekend.
Brilliant. And we've also been keeping across as much of the football as we possibly can. We have got to that point of the season now that the championship is over. We're diving deeper down the leagues. But of course, I think we should preface that by saying not often do you get to be able to watch those matches very well. Sometimes you find the match reports and a lot of the social media give you updates. But we will be diving in to one of those games in the FA Women's National League. It was between Exeter City and AFC Bournemouth. All came down to the final day on Sunday. We will get on to that. But both of us trying to piece bits together for that match from reports, from different feeds. But yeah, we'll get on to that one. First of all, though, we'll start in WSL. You've chosen a game for us to reflect on this week, which was critical in the title race. Manchester City 1, Arsenal 2. Why did you go for this, first of all?
Oh,
because of the upset?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think actually at the time, I didn't actually realise Arsenal had a comeback. I think I must have been doing something else and I thought, okay, City 1-0 up, Lauren Hemp, you know, this is going to be their year. And then credit to Arsenal, you know, to come back the way they did. And Black Stinius, she must be tuning into our pods, Lindsay, because sometimes we're a little bit critical of her. You know, to pop up with two late goals, you know, 89th minute and 92nd minute, you know, two goals in 3 minutes to help Arsenal get the 3 points. And really, it's just blown the title race completely open again, you know, and how quickly things can change. I was at the Liverpool-Chelsea game midweek and pretty much the vibe and the atmosphere of the Chelsea players in tears. Emma Hayes pretty much after the game saying, you know, it's not coming, you know, to Chelsea this year, the title. They looked so deflated and really looked like it was just over. I remember bumping into Lauren Hemp as well. She was there with Ash Hodgson, her partner, and they were walking out the stadium. And you could kind of tell that she had a bit of a skip in her stride, almost like, right, this is ours this year. And then literally within, what, 3 days, it looks like it's back in Chelsea's hands again. You know, they've gone and absolutely smashed Bristol, really like increased the goal difference. They've got an extra goal now and a game in hand. So, oh my gosh, it's just, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the last few seasons, it's gone down to the final day. I think briefly after that game on Wednesday at Prenton Park, we all thought, and maybe it won't. Maybe it won't go down to the final day. It is all set to now. I was at King's Meadow for Emma Hayes' final game there because they've got two away games after this, Spurs and Man United, of which we should add both involved in the cup final. So I don't know whether there's going to be some distraction or everything being put into that game at Wembley. They might benefit from that as well. But 8-0 against Bristol City. And the one observation I would make in this title race in terms of the body language of the Chelsea players in this one is when they scored early on, and then they kept scoring, actually. Like, so say at 3-4-0, no celebrations. Just get the ball, keep going. So they knew that the goal difference could be critical, and they managed to overturn a 7 deficit. Then they scored 8 to go 1 in front, which means if they win their remaining 2 games and City win theirs, it will come down to goal difference. If anybody slips, obviously we'll have another twist and turn.
Yeah.
But let's focus on City and what they could have potentially done more here, because what 1-0 up, that Lauren Hemp goal, what could they have done to protect that lead more?
Yeah, 100%. I think truthfully they switched off at the wrong time. You know, Arsenal are a great team, and actually during the game they had plenty of opportunities to score. You know, I think Caitlin Ford had a great opportunity that she put wide. You know, there was 2 or 3 chances where they were really unlucky. You know, so you could almost say, you know, was a draw fair in the end. But I think when I look back at the goals that City did concede, you know, last minute with Blackstenius, you know, 2 headers, and it's players that you didn't expect to switching off. So for me, Alex Greenwood has been probably City's best player, or definitely their best defender all season for England and for City. But you can see she was ball watching, you know, and she doesn't notice Blackstenius on her back shoulder. You know, she's the only player in the box, and as the ball comes in, she's just caught, you know, 2 square, you know, not watching ball and player. And she's actually kind of looked almost to try and see if she was offside. And in that split moment, you know, this is the thing, these teams now are so good, you can't afford for any second to switch off. And unfortunately for City, you know, those last few minutes, whether it's tired legs, you know, I've always talked about City's squad and how I don't think it's big enough, you know, that they haven't got as big a squad numbers wise the likes of Chelsea to be able to bring players on. But I just think at key moments players switched off, which is, it could really punish them. And I genuinely do feel like City deserve to win the title this year with the way that they've played football. But you know, you can't, it's not just going to get handed to you. And I think that really is a massive disappointment for City, throwing it away really within 3 minutes.
And now they're just behind on goal difference, and no Bunny Shaw because she's injured.
Absolutely.
Which is another factor. They've got Aston Villa away on the final day. It's actually mouthwatering now. And who'd have thought, Tash, that Arsenal, after everything that's gone on this season, it's Arsenal that have done Chelsea the favour.
Absolutely, yeah. And credit to Arsenal. You know, you look at the kind of table now, you know, they've really kind of pushed themselves up. I know that they were guaranteed Champions League spot already. But, you know, I think Arsenal moving forward next season, it's just consistency with them now. I really believe that, you know, maybe adding 1 or 2 to strengthen. But we spoke about it last week. I just think if Chelsea go on and win it, I think, again, their squad is just, it's bigger, you know, it's bigger, it's stronger. But what football, you know, and the highs of football, it can be cruel, can't it, sometimes? Who would have thought, yeah, it's going to be really enjoyable. I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely going to be involved in one of those games, last game of the season. So I'm excited to see that.
I really hope that I am as well. It would be great just to be there doing those interviews. And actually, it meant a lot to do Emma's final game at King's Meadow, because I've covered a whole stint at Chelsea Football Club, which is a long time.
She had a nice send-off as usual. Wouldn't have expected any less with her speech. It was very entertaining.
Yes, guards of honour. If anyone tuned into Sky and saw the whole thing play out, you know, it did turn into a celebration of her career, because I think it's not just her time at Chelsea, it's the way she's shaped the women's game, isn't it? It's completely
absolutely
changed.
Absolutely.
We are going to come on to have our In the Spotlight this week with referee Rebecca Welsh. So we can't wait for that one. She's going to be alongside nutritionist Caroline Tarnowski. And what a brilliant chat to have at this point of the season about officiating in the game and where it potentially is going next as well. But we'll come on to our second game, which was that game in the FA Women's National League. So going down the leagues for this one. Exeter City against AFC Bournemouth. And this was for a spot in Tier 3. Just tell us how it played out, Tash, from what we've read and what we've watched little bits of.
Yeah, no, do you know what? It sounded like a cracking game, you know. So from what I kind of read, that both teams were unbeaten throughout the whole of the league campaign. So first of all, credit to Exeter City and AFC Bournemouth. You know, that's terrific achievement. So, yeah, AFC went 1-0 up after 24 minutes away from home. Then Cunningham came on actually after 54 minutes. And within 4 minutes, she got the equaliser to make it 1-1. There was a red card as well involved. So a little bit of drama towards the end. And AFC Bournemouth actually hit the crossbar as well on the 82nd minute. So when I was reading through the Exeter City kind of timeline, the person was saying, this is really nerve-wracking, doing little kind of scary emojis, almost like gritted teeth, like they just kind of wanted the whistle to be blown. So yeah, it ended up 1-1. Exeter 2 points better off than Bournemouth, but had a much better goal difference. And the really cool thing is it was a record crowd as well, 812 we heard. And it's just brilliant, you know. It's lovely to see and hear that, you know, the lower divisions as well are achieving things, record crowds, you know, all these things. It's great because we hear it a lot in the WSL, record crowds and record attendances. And so it's nice to see that actually lower down the pyramid, you know, achievements like that are happening as well. So congratulations to Exeter City, you know, really tough for AFC Bournemouth, but I'm sure they'll be back a lot stronger next year.
Yeah, you can find their social media feed on X. It's at Exeter City WFC, and they have put some match highlights up there. So if anybody wants to see those, they can do. But they are history makers. It's the top of their feed. You know, they're going up. It is great as well that it all went down to that last day. We're talking about last day drama that we might have in the WSL. It happened here to get into Tier 3. You always feel a bit sorry, though, don't you, for AFC Bournemouth? You know, you say about that crossbar, those fine margins of how close it came in the end. And then rebuilding, having to go. What do you think that's like at that level? Because is it likely, Tash, will they lose many players? Or do they tend to, because it's that level, they tend to keep the nucleus of the squad and be able to carry on? I saw it with Wolves women a few seasons ago. They managed to go again. And it's just trying to react to the disappointment without really having the funds to really overhaul the squad, I suppose.
Absolutely. And I think having worked in Tier 3, they have a lot more of a kind of a tighter bond. I think that a lot of these players, truthfully, obviously they play because they love the sport, but it's a lot more of a social event as well. You know, it's that kind of real camaraderie. They do it to make friends, and it's not necessarily because they want a full-time job in football, which I think is great. And, you know, I admire that. So a lot of it is a case of they want to play together. You know, they don't want to go off and play for other teams or go and play for better teams. So, you know, there might be the odd one that might be tempted or maybe had a really good season. Maybe Exeter might want to pinch or poach now that they've been promoted. But generally, you know, when I followed the Wrexham documentary and I followed the women's team, you know, they had that really good centre forward that was scoring all the goals. But she wanted to stay with her teammates, you know, and have that camaraderie and kind of go up the tables together. So I think you kind of get that real togetherness lower down the pyramid, I believe. So I think AFC Bournemouth will stick together, most of the team, and try and get promoted next year.
Big congratulations then to Exeter City on their promotion. I will flag as well a friend of the Offside Rule podcast, Since 71's website. They cover everything grassroots. They do a lot in the Championship as well. We're always a little bit having our hands tied because in the Championship, at least we know the games are on FA Player and we can watch them and we can give you proper analysis. But we'd love to dig further into the pyramid. And thankfully, you know, you are getting some match highlights, and this was live streamed actually. So there were opportunities for CrossFit fans to be able to watch. But that's what you're up against, I think, with lower down the pyramid. Maybe it will continue to improve as we go into next season. And we can keep talking about those sorts of games, Tash. Finally, for our third game that we're reflecting on the weekend, you have gone over to the States. I saw this one flashing up all over my social media feed.
Yeah.
A big game, Seattle Reign against San Diego Wave. And it was Reign who came out on top, 2-1 winners. And I think, you know, maybe a little bit against the form books. I think people perhaps thought that this might have gone Wave's way going into
Absolutely. You know, I think I always follow Laura Harvey and Casey Stoney because, you know, ex-manager in the WSL for Arsenal with Laura Harvey. Casey Stoney, I played with her at England. So, you know, I like to see how English managers are doing in the NWSL. And also because they did so well last year. You know, San Diego Wave were top of the division. You know, Seattle Reign were fourth. So they were both kind of in the playoffs. And both have really struggled this season, you know, down the wrong end of the table, which is really interesting, whether or not recruitment hasn't been as well this summer. You know, I haven't really been following, you know, the league, you know, as much probably as I would like. But that's something that I'd really love to kind of know why. Why are they down the wrong end of the table? But yeah, the game was fascinating. So I'll kind of talk you through how it went. So yeah, after 9 minutes, King got a red card for Seattle Reign. So for 80 plus minutes, Seattle Reign had 10 players for 80 plus minutes. I mean, that is a long time to go down. And also bottom of the table. So, you know, your season hasn't been going well for you. You've got a player sent off after 10 minutes going up against San Diego Wave, for a top team. Wave then go 1-0 up after 11 minutes through Carusa. So you're thinking, okay, going to be another 3 points for San Diego Wave, with the extra player. But credit to Reign, they reacted really well. Bolcher got the equaliser just before halftime, 34th minute. So halftime 1-1. Then Latsko, who I've played against many a times in Australia, great player, super sub. She came on. She gets the late winner in the 89th minute for Seattle Reign. Now, I couldn't believe it, you know, to obviously show that character with 10 players and then go on and get the winner. McNabb got then a red card for San Diego Wave, who I've played again with in Australia. So she got a red in the 105th minute. So two red cards. Yeah, and a massive 3 points for Seattle Reign. You know, that's now taken them off the bottom of the table. You know, they go up to 11th spot. San Diego stay in 10th. So, yeah, Seattle hadn't have got those 3 points, they'd be sitting bottom of the table with just 3 points. So that was a huge, huge result for Laura Harvey's team. And Katie Stoney's team, yeah, struggling this year. I know it's early days still in the NWSL. You know, we're only at the start of the season. But yeah, I love games like that. You know, so much action, late goals, you know, super subs, red cards. Sounds like a great game.
We often hear about teams that go down to 10 players rallying, being difficult to play against. You know, from players' points of view, the amount of interviews I've done afterwards say, oh, I don't like playing against 10 players, which seems crazy because you're like, right, you've actually got a deficit there. You've got a player advantage. Why is it so difficult? Why is it that people don't like it?
I think the hardest teams to play against are the ones that do bank up. So even, let's say, you're going 11v11 and you play against those teams that like to hit you on the counter and they have bodies behind the ball, they make it no space to play in behind or to play within the lines. You know, you have to have then creative players that are good on the ball, that can see a pass, that are good in tight spaces. And, you know, the modern game now, it's a lot to do with pace and having space to run into and behind. So I think that naturally when you go down to 10 players, you then tend to bank up into kind of, you know, two banks rather than three, and to make it a lot more compact. And I think potentially with the players that San Diego Wave have, I don't think that suits them as much, if I'm being completely honest, with the likes of Alex Morgan, who likes to have that space to run into, you know, maybe not as technical. So, you know, whereas probably Reign and the players that they have, that probably suits them more, you know, a bit more techie. Laura Harvey as well, with, you know, kind of the style that she likes to play. She likes to have ball playing players. So I think potentially that's something that maybe Casey Stoney and her squad need to look at moving forward. You know, kind of, I know Casey loves to play football and the style of football that she had at Man United. And I hear that the style in America and in the NWSL is changing into a bit more of a technical style, because when I played, it was so transitional, Lindsay. You know, it was end to end, who can run the most, who can run the fastest. But I think now, with obviously English managers going over there, especially as well, maybe as Emma Hayes as well taking over in America, you might start to see a bit more of a European style of football happening over in the NWSL soon.
Yeah, because it was always famously, you know, they were the fittest athletes on the planet. So fitness-wise, you couldn't compete, but technically, you know, you're always looking towards Europe, weren't you? So our three games then that we've reflected on, Manchester City 1, Arsenal 2 in WSL. In the FA Women's National League, Exeter City 1, AFC Bournemouth 1 that saw Exeter City promoted to Tier 3. And Seattle Reign 2, San Diego Wave 1 in NWSL. On to our big interview for this week for In the Spotlight. We managed to get some time with referee Rebecca Welsh. And also she was joined by a nutritionalist, Caroline Tarnowski, just to talk about hydration and the importance of that as well. So we got lots of tips. So for anyone listening, if you're interested in a career in football, you love watching the football or have any family members, there's some great tips you can get from this chat. We'll give you a taster now, but there is a longer version of this interview, a much longer version, because how much time did we get with them, Tash?
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah,
probably like 45 minutes.
I loved it. Yeah, I felt longer. I could have talked all day with them, to be honest.
It was really good. So we're going to drop that down the feed wherever you get your podcast later this week.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Offside Rule. Please leave us a review on your podcast app.
Rebecca and Caroline, thank you very much for joining us this week. Fresh from a UEFA training camp that was supported by Gatorade Sports Science Institute. And I'm really curious, Rebecca, what happens at a referee training camp? We all know when all the players go off, what they get through, but what do you get put through?
It's probably pretty similar, to be honest. So normally we have 3 days of training camp, which is really full on. It's a lot of classroom-based analysis. So we look at different clips, different situations, all linked into topics. Interestingly enough, this time we had some managers, some ex-players there, because obviously it's good to get a referee's opinion on a situation, but it's also good to get managers' expectations and players' expectations as well. One day we had fitness testing, so we do fitness testing twice a year just to make sure that the referees are fit enough to officiate for the remaining part of the season. So a physical session where all the girls go out and do that. And then back in the classroom again for the end of the seminar. And obviously we were joined by Caroline in GSSI. So they always do a presentation, which again for us is quite nice because they feel like part of the family now. I think for the past probably definitely since the Euros, they joined us at the Euros in England. So yeah, they certainly are part of the furniture now. So it's always nice to have them there.
Rebecca, how did you fare on the fitness testing? You're one of the best. Are you mid-table or are you slacking at the back?
I always feel like I'm slacking at the back. Obviously, I'm getting on now, so I'm not as young as I used to be. Listen, I don't like fitness testing.
No,
I don't like running.
Me neither.
So I'm probably in the wrong job, if I'm honest. But yeah, it's one of them boxes that needs to be ticked.
Is it like what players do, the yo-yo test, or is it like 30-15? What kind of stuff
do
you do?
We do like a different variation of fitness tests. So for UEFA, we do something called the SDS, which is single, double, single. It's all vile, all horrible. You literally get over the finish line. You think, thank God that's done. But yeah, I think we do about 3 or 4 different tests now.
And no Can you explain in just in a bit more detail the running bit, just because that's quite interesting?
So you will do a 56-metre run. For your single, 6 seconds rest. Then you'll do a double, which is, I'm not very good with numbers, It's not double 56. It's something like 64. So you'll learn so far.
I was just about to chip in and go 112 and feel really proud of myself, but fine.
Yeah, and then you'll have 6 seconds rest, and then you'll do the single again, and then you'll get 24 seconds rest, and you do 3 sets of five runs.
It's, oh my gosh! Wow.
Yeah, it's ugly. We used to.
Tash is going to copy this. Yeah. You know what? Maybe I'll give it a go.
I'll send you it. We used to do the yo-yo, the back and forward, where you have to do that sharp turn.
Disgusting.
We've now moved to the dynamic yo-yo, which is probably more relevant to what we do on the field, but yeah, anything with test on the end,
yeah,
straight away I hear this.
Yeah.
Well, having heard all of that, I can understand why you're grateful to have someone like Caroline there. Caroline, from your perspective, you're looking at nutrition, you're looking at hydration, and hydration of athletes, whether you're a referee or you're a player, is so important. But can you explain your findings in that area and why now this sports science element is so crucial?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So as you said, hydration is really important for performance of players or referees. It can have a big positive impact if well hydrated on physical and cognitive performance, but then can also have detrimental impacts if someone is starting a training session or match in a dehydrated state. It can then have a negative impact on their like physical or cognitive performance. So with the referees, we've been looking at kind of all aspects of nutrition and also some specific aspects of like female athlete performance. But within this, as you said, looking at hydration as well. So we've been going along to the camps, focusing on hydration specifically by looking at hydration status before the training sessions or the fitness tests that the referees do. So as Bex will know, this involves them providing us with a urine sample, and then we have a look at essentially how concentrated the urine is, and this gives us an indication as to how hydrated or dehydrated they are before the fitness test. And then we use this as an education tool to try and help them to improve their hydration, which should then hopefully have a positive impact on their performance.
A big thank you to Rebecca and to Caroline for joining us. And you can get the chat in full. You'll get all of that interview dropping down your podcast feed later this week. Just to say as well, when we're talking about hydration and everything, and you openly admitted, Tash, that it was probably an area you didn't look at enough.
Yeah, 100%.
And now, suddenly, I've got my water here as we're recording. Yeah. So I'm thinking, I've got to get more on board. Cheers. It's some really, really great takeaways there. And Rebecca, you know, she's talking a bit like Jurgen Klopp for me. She's hinting that she hasn't got too much longer, maybe, being a referee.
No, it was. It was brilliant. It was fascinating. You know, just diving into that world and what it's like. You know, as a player, you just don't have a clue, do you? So I just found it really interesting to hear. And yeah, spot on with the hydration. It's something I've just really never enjoyed. I've never enjoyed drinking water. But to then listen to that and just how important it was, I think players, you know, if they tune into this, you know, it's a must now, you know, to take your game to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, even if that's just the one takeaway and you're doing lots of sport, whatever the sport be, just make sure that's it. Right, we're going to finish the show, as always, with your scouting report. You're smiling. It means we're going back up front, I'm sure.
I'm moving back on up front, Yeah, so obviously I said I had my close friend, Caroline, over. So I had to get some Danish, young talent. I was asking her if she knew of any at PSV or in the Dutch league. And she gave me a midfield player called Johanna Fosdalers. So midfield player, Danish. She actually plays for Häcken in the Swedish league. She's only 18 years old. And recently she got her debut for the Danish national team in March. But she's been playing basically 90 plus minutes every week for Häcken. So she's had a couple of years there now. Only 18, been playing in their Champions League games. And when I asked Caroline her kind of playing style, she basically said she's very similar to a Lauren James, you know, so Ooh. That kind of like, you know, how she can slow it down to go fast, you know, you think you've got her, then you haven't, that real almost laid back, almost like she's not even trying kind of attitude and style. Yeah, she said she's a top midfield player, and she thinks, you know, she'll be really breaking, you know, through into the national team even more within the next year or so. But to be playing 90 minutes for Häcken, who are a top team in Sweden, I think it says a lot for someone that's so young still. So Johanna for starters could be the next Lauren James, maybe.
Wow. Well, I mean, you think about Lauren James and you think about the way that teams set up, you imagine that this player has to be given quite a lot of freedom, a lot of space as well to operate in, which also gives you an indication of the style that Häcken must be playing. So one to watch then, Johanna Fosdales, am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's it, Fosdales, yeah.
And so 18 years old, midfielder, keep your eyes peeled for her. Only two more scouting reports for you, Tash. It is FA Cup final weekend. Biggest game in the domestic calendar. We will be reflecting on that in next week's episode, doing thorough analysis with Mark Parsons. Can't wait for that one. But no mailbag this week. We're going to leave it there and just focus everything FA Cup final. So I'll speak to you again next week, Tash.
The Offside Rule. This is a Listening Dog Media production. Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.